101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, August 17th, until after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day as we have an open line Thursday. We're going to actually talk about what is trending inside the news and, of course, what is trending on social media. So you can feel free to call in and join us and we'll do some commentary on it. Today we have Aaron Green with me, of course, and we will be analyzing the news. The numbers today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and of course we have that's not an international number. What kind of number is that, Aaron? The one you call from Family Island.
Oh, that's a toll-free number.
The toll-free. That's the word I was trying to look for. Yeah. The toll-free line, which is 242-300-5720 for those calling from the Family Island and want to join in this conversation. Like I said, it's open line Thursday, and we're talking about the news. I have a clip I want to play. And producer, can you cue that up so we can play that so I have some commentary on that too? I wanted to analyze that along with one or two news articles that I have here placed on the side. But producer, if you have that right now, just play it so we can do some commentary on that then.
Surface. And we came to the port and got a taxi driver named Cousin Clarence. We paid $30 a person for 18 people to drive us around for the day. He said he would take us anywhere we wanted to go for the day. We went to the Queen's Staircase, and then he drove us to Junkanoo Beach, where he said he would be back at 3 o'clock to pick us up. And never came back to get us. He said we could leave our belongings in his vehicle, and my daughter left her bag with her necklace and her bracelet that we had just bought from the market by this Queen's Staircase, and her C card to get back on the ship, and then he never came back to get us. We had to pay another $70 and taxis to get back to the port. So that's what, $610 now we paid. My name is Megan Surface, and my phone number is 240-577-0742. And my address is 36765 Asher Road, Mechanicsville, Maryland, 20659.
I just wanted to play that for the record, right, to analyze that. There's a guest who apparently is on a cruise ship, and she paid for her and her family to go on a island tour. Apparently, she paid an exorbitant amount of money to go on an island tour, but it's an all-day tour, and the taxi driver, Cousin Clarence, promised, hey, I'm going to come pick you up. It's all a part of the package deal, and she is saying that, hey, he never came, right? She left some items inside the bus. She at 3 o'clock she was there waiting on him, and he did not show up, right? So of course, Cousin Clarence, and he made some commentary. And I wanted to play that because I want to analyze. This is someone, a tourism professional in the tour field, a taxi driver, right? And who went to Bahama House, because you have to go to Bahama House to get your taxi license, or what do you call it, a public service license badge, in order to service our tourists. So I just wanted to hear the lady's concern, mm-hmm, right? And then have a juxtapose to the response to the taxi driver, because there's always two sides, right? And perhaps the tourist was over-exaggerating, and we need to at least listen to our Bohemians in terms of how they provide the service. So, producer, play that next clip there for me, please, when you're able to.
I had these people today on a tour, 17, 18 of them, for $30 a person. I've been to the fort almost an hour with these people. They tell me, say, I must get them to the beach, come back for them like 3 o'clock. Rabbi Brenda, like 2:45, I reach to the 2:45 early. 3:20, these people ain't never show up. You know what I'm saying? So I leave. They can't say they leave no bag or nothing in the bus, because when I get to the fort, one man who's in the front, he say, I can leave my box, whatever backpack in the bus. Then he says, no man, I can carry it. They leave it. Then people don't even want to leave that in the bus, they go on. So 20 minutes after 3, I still was there. I said, boy, that's something. These people, I ain't warm with them. The ship right there, if they really want to get back to the ship, let them go. Either they leave early or they leave, come back late. But I know one thing. I stay there till 3:30 or 3:45, because guess what? If the ship say 10 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no different from the ship. So I don't want nobody to think I obligated to stay there and wait till they decide they won't come back. That means I wait. I run in a business. And that's the way it go. Now, whoever have a problem with it, tell them they know exactly what to do.
Aaron, whoever have a problem with this, they know exactly what to do.
It's a simple test, Mr. Newry.
It's a simple test?
It's a simple test. I just want to ask Cousin Clarence one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You turn right on red at Shirley and Mackie.
He's one of them.
I just want to know, because that'll lead me in the direction I think we're heading in.
He's one of them.
I don't know. I just know that a lot of taxi drivers
mm-hmm.
are just ignoring the most basic of rules
mm-hmm.
upon road. Not all taxi drivers, but plenty, far more than should be on the road. And I mean, they just cold with it. They gonna cut you off turning right on red on Shirley and Mackie as if the national security depends on it.
Now, there's not a beat upon taxi drivers day.
Right, that's what I say.
However,
that's the test.
However, there's a culture in our taxi tour operator business.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you mentioned on turn right on red on the street, and this gentleman, professional, who went to Bahama House, who have a public service license, and I need to read the statement let me look for that. That's a different statement. Statement from the Minister of Transport. Let me get that up whilst we here, because Joe Bakobi, who's responsible for issuing taxi license and et cetera, right? She immediately gave a note out because she was concerned, right? And despite the note being out and the people looking for Cousin Clarence decided to, I'm going to give my own release. I'm going to let you all know that if you think I was going to wait on those people, you're a fool. They done pay their money, right? The cruise ship right down the road, they can get there, right? And I'm not prepared, even though they paid for all day, I'm not prepared to be waiting on them for half an hour if they're late.
The professional taxi driver did say, he did not indicate that they paid for all day. I think there's a discrepancy. And I inferred from his commentary that they didn't pay him. In his mind, they didn't pay him for all day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is misunderstanding between what all day means in the Bahamas in the tourism sector.
Mm.
Let me read this statement from the minister and then I can tell you a story from the roadworks.
Go ahead.
Please be advised. This is a statement from the minister responsible for transport and housing, Minister JoBeth Colby Davis. Please be advised, the Ministry of Transport and Housing and the Road Traffic Department is aware of the incident involving a taxi driver and a tourist. The police is investigating the matter. Once the police investigation is completed, the ministry will provide an update. Now, that troubles me, right? Because I am almost certain I read where a police officer said, these people ain't make a formal complaint, mm-hmm. so we ain't got nothing to investigate.
We need to stick a pin there, eh?
Yeah.
So either the minister, JoBeth Kubabi, is making a complaint, or she's indicating that police is investigated, or a sensible police officer say, wait, there is no complaint, so they make no sense.
And again, this could be confusion with language, right? Mm-hmm. Because make a complaint is a formal procedure. Mm-hmm. Maybe what the minister intended to convey is that the police are making inquiries. They're determining whether, right, they can proceed with charges. And to proceed with charges, you need a complainant, right?
So more likely, because the lady left her phone number, likely, I assume, the police now will call this particular person. Mm-hmm. And then a complaint will be done, be a formal investigation. But Clarence, cousin Clarence, really identified himself. He said he wasn't waiting on nobody, right? He has the right to take off because that's his car. Mm-hmm. Right.
He also indicated that there were no items left in his vehicle. He said, like, that part of their query, he said, he don't know what they're talking about because he had an engagement with one of the members of the party and that person ended up taking the bike, mm-hmm. right? Like, so he's saying that he didn't expect anybody to have left. What we infer, what we are left to infer is, like, whether somebody actually left something or not.
And I see the caller, but I want to read what the taxi union, because the taxi union president, I think I sent that to you on your phone, the taxi union president got involved, right? And basically, he blamed the minister. He blamed the minister for...
No, man.
I don't mind the man. I blame the minister. The audacity. And I got a little concerned because this is a prime example of...
why we don't need any more Fergusons in the union?
That too. But a prime example of why taxi drivers act the way. Because the president is kind of different.
See, that's why a sense of time is so important. Because you have to understand historically the role that the taxi union played in the country, in politics, in governance, right? You got to understand.
They blocked the road, yes. They paused tourism.
And they always had access to U.S. cash.
Yes. Yes.
Money talks, mm-hmm. right? And I think they still have, they have lost a sense of time. They think they're still back there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. They in.
Well, let's read that and go to the caller.
All right. So here we go. The article is captioned, "More Teeth Police Probe Tourist Taxi Complaints." The taxi union's president yesterday admitted the authorities need, quote, "more teeth," close quotes, to punish rogue operators as the police were summoned to investigate an alleged incident involving one driver and a group of tourists. Again, rogue suggests it's a small group of outliers and not the majority of taxi drivers. Wesley Ferguson, the Bahamas Taxi Cab Union's chief, told Tribune Business that the rollout of the new code of conduct for drivers will help curb conflicts involving the sector and visitors. What about the sector and Bahamians? Anyway, back to the article. The sector and visitors, as a group of cruise ship passengers complained, one operator had absconded with their belongings and left them stranded to the beach. They also had to spend hundreds of extra dollars to find an alternative ride back to the cruise port. Conceding that the taxi industry's current code of conduct lacks the, quote, teeth, close quotes, to be effective and levy proper disciplinary measures against drivers who have, quote, spiraled out of control, close quote. Mr. Ferguson added, "We are still waiting on the Ministry of Transport and Housing to actually roll out the new code of conduct. That's to sort of mitigate some of these incidents and give them some kind of clear directive on what course of action should be taken in a situation like this. We need the ministry to agree on it and have it gazetted, basically as law, so it can give the authorities more teeth in order to have efficient and good governance in the taxi industry. Because of a lack of administrators and the lack of disciplinary measures levied against taxi drivers, they seem to basically spiral out of control," close quotes. A video was widely circulated on social media yesterday depicting a tourist relaying their alleged experience with a taxi driver. The speaker identified herself as Megan and said she hired a taxi to take her party of 18 around, and then the article goes to a second page.
I just wanted to hash that out to admonish tourism persons, professionals.
Stakeholders.
That they have a duty of care to the tourists. I understand sometimes tourists can be overwhelming and demanding. But surely, even when you're responding, it's the response, you know. Because I'm surely Cousin Clarence could have responded better than that. he responded flippantly, dismissively, mm-hmm. you know, to our bread and butters. Mm-hmm. And I see we have callers here. Let's see if you can answer that for me. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Mr. Nery.
Go ahead, Sparky. How you doing?
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, sir.
Hello.
Hi, morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, when that lady gave the total, what she said, they had paid $600 and something.
Well,
in total, the two.
$30 times 18 people.
I think the total was some $600 and something or something, right? Mm. I heard the lady say also that she had paid for the taxi driver to take care of him for the day. But when I look at $600 and something in a day, how much people makes that money in one day? Not much people around here, unless you're a lawyer, doctor, politician. To make that in a day, what some people don't make in a month, I think he could spend the day with them people. That's a month's salary that he going home in one day. But he does, you know, that I've heard many stories, but some of those rogue taxi drivers are there. That's a hustling job. And they'll leave you stranded to one nightclub, they'll run to try and catch the body at another nightclub, and hopefully it'll come back for you. Sometimes they even forget they leave you at the nightclub. And that, you know, that's like, let me say, that's our bread and butter. They got to think, but when these visitors come all the way to the Bahamas to spend their money to help them, to feed us and our children, that they got to really stop this hustling and do or die thing, man. They should arrest that fella. Have a good day.
Thank you, Scott.
And like I said, you know, I'm not sure. I see the caller now. I'm not sure what transpired. But my concern is the response of Cousin Clarence and not appreciating, not empathizing with his tourists. Mm-hmm.
And more than that, forgetting the rule book. There's a rule book, right? What's the Stafford Sand say? Bring them in and wring them dry. Don't let them leave with a dollar in their pocket. Mm. There's a rule book. And to do that, you must eat your words sometimes.
Eat your words sometimes.
Especially when you done finish. The thing done finish. Mm-hmm. It's not like you standing on the beach rowing with them to tell them they need to give you more money to take them back to the cruise.
Yeah.
The day done done.
The day done done.
Be a little more polite about the why.
Simply said it was a misunderstanding. I thought the cruise was over. I'm checking my car. There's no bag inside there. If they need any more help from me, call me up. I'll be happy to help you up.
Let me say, just this week, a taxi cut me off turning right on red and then had the audacity to stop to put on his window and say, but miss, you came across the lane my green light.
That sounds like Cousin Clarence. Call him. Yeah, this is going to connect you. So if you could call back there.
All right. Hey,
let's answer that and let me go. Dingham. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, Mary.
Go ahead, listen, Ray, and then we go to tax
rate. Okay, listen to Cousin Clarence, you all. I concur with you all. I concur fully with Sparky. Listening to him, to me, he was trying to be up above board, but he was out of order. Because by his own admission, he said that they were charged $30, 18 of them, for the tour. I guess that's a complete tour.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And when I guess the beach was involved, all of that was involved for him to make the determination about why I wait too long, the ship right down the road for 10 minutes. It didn't matter if they was 1 minute away from the ship. He was paid to take them on tour and to return them to wherever he get them from.
Mm-hmm.
So he was wrong. His attitude, he needs an attitude adjustment, and he should be suspended and made to pay those people triple in China. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure. So we have some text, Aaron.
Yeah. So first text, morning. If he is a taxi driver tour operator with that nasty attitude, then we are doomed. Good morning. This is why taxi drivers should not be conducting tours. They are only supposed to take you from one place to the next. Leave the tours to the tour operators. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have a tour alliance, right? I think we do have an association for tour drivers. And if you are going to be a taxi driver giving a tour, take advantage of every opportunity available in the space to build your capacity. So that's the type of behavior, Nuri. If a taxi driver, if I'm waiting for a taxi and the taxi driver look at me and say, Green, look here, I won't make this tourist run. Mm-hmm. I know you need a taxi.
Yeah.
I'm coming back for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait right here. You will be safe. I'll do that.
Yeah.
If I could trust you coming back, I could wait because I understand the play. Make that money, but then don't forget me. So that's a part of it. That's a part of what I am disappointed in the whole commentary is like, we don't understand that we are emboldening and perpetuating this idea in taxi drivers and tourism stakeholders because the focus is only and primarily, and then I would say only on their engagement with tourists.
Especially for people who are asking for raises.
And for people who are actively lobbying against rideshare services and mm-hmm. other transportation services primarily for locals.
Yes. Yes.
You can't be advocating against things to support locals, but refuse to support locals yourself with your service, mm-hmm. refuse to lobby for a rate separate for locals and for tourists, and they do it in Cuba, and they do it in Cuba with the endorsement of the entire international community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody with sense saying, oh, Cubans should charge me the same money they charge Cubans, even though I'm on vacation from the global north. Ain't nobody saying that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Good. So we have another call here. Let me pass that caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, guys, thanks for taking my call. It's new. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Yeah, I look at a taxi driver. Oh, we need a standard. He don't dress like a taxi driver. He dress like a person on the yard when across the street to go to the shop to get something and go back. We need a code of ethics in our taxi service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I travel around, you know what I mean? And they have a coat of bed, they have necktie and everything. They look decent.
Yeah.
That's what we put on the street of our tourism. Or even our local native. We need to get our act together, man, Mr. Nuri.
I appreciate you calling. I agree.
The minister need to look at code of ethics.
And this is what the tax union is lobbying for, and I'm sure the minister is going to initiate whatever she has planned.
I hope so, because I got my hand on the vote. Have a good day.
Okay.
Thank you. That's another point you made, you raised there, Nuri. What is the union itself doing to police its own members?
I'm not sure what the taxi union's job is anymore. That era is over for taxi drivers in general.
Yeah, that pension scheme isn't working out either.
And that taxi union building isn't working out either.
Yeah.
They seem to be...
But I'm concerned,
weathered.
Why is the union president reaching out to the minister?
For one of his members.
Right. Like, if they don't follow your code of conduct, kick them out of the union. They no longer get to enjoy the benefits of the union, and they are rogue in terms of the sense that they're not. Let me take that back, because there are a number of taxi drivers who are not in the union that are not rogue. That's not why they're not in the union.
Mm-hmm.
But the union should have a policing mechanism, and if these drivers breach that mechanism, that information should be given to the ministry because that should impact their ability to keep their plate. And too many infractions, penalties, demerits, or complaints coming through the union mechanism should be a part of a policy that restricts someone from owning a plate. Sorry, holding a plate, because we don't own plates anymore, or driving a taxi. You know, this is frightening, because what's the point of the union if you are not there to moderate the behavior of your members or to implement a standard for all members to follow? But I tell you what, Mr. Nuri, the more and more I talk about it, the more clear it becomes that we need to talk about it. If your primary transportation space is riddled with people who refuse to follow the law, you got a crisis. And we need the Royal Bahamas Police Force. This is the next thing. Why are you calling on the Ministry of Transport to moderate the behavior of drivers? Call on the Royal Bahamas Police Force Traffic Division to moderate the behavior of drivers. I know they can't moderate this situation we're dealing with Cousin Clarence and the alleged issue with the tourists, right? But they can begin to moderate behavior. And if you can moderate that behavior while they're driving, you will see moderation and engagement with tourists as well. Nuri, can I go to this call?
Go ahead, man.
Good morning, caller. You're on Guardian Radio AM.
Good morning, my friend. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you. You see, I'm the PM now.
I'm doing good morning, Brother Nuri.
Good morning. Good morning. I hear read the newspaper and smiling because I plan to beat Aaron later on. We could talk about marital rape. We're going to see if he plan to beat her. Go ahead.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, after being in the hospitality industry, i.e. hotel sector, for over 34 years, I can tell you, that sort of attitude in any hotel or before any management would definitely would have resulted in a full investigation. And if that person is found to have committed that offense, I can guarantee you, union or no union, he would have been out. Because now you're talking about our bread and butter. This is what the country actually thrives on, our tourism product. And by his own admission, and by the attitude that he displayed, it was totally out of order. So right then and there, I mean, should anyone really know who this gentleman is, this dude needs to really be raked over the coals. You know, because, I mean, let's face it. The code of conduct there's a code of conduct for everything. Even if there isn't an existing code of conduct, the type of business that he's in should have already steered his moral compass to behave in a much better scenario than what he did. I didn't see or hear about the matter of perhaps the tourist had slapped him or the tourist had insulted him or whatever. I mean, it's just plainly a service being offered. And if the implication was that the person paid for a full day service but only utilized the service for only half day, by courtesy, he should have turned around and offered the courtesy until that passenger or passengers got back to the point of origin where they came from. Mm-hmm. So there's no excuse for the behavior. And I, for one, could not condone it because, I mean, like I said, we are a service-oriented country. And if this is the level of service and the attitudes that we're having towards our tourists, but to ourselves, then it simply spells that we're already at Dome Street, even from the jump. So we have to find this Clarence individual, and he must be called in. I don't know about Hammerhole's training, if he had it or not, or even if he's even supposed to even remain within the industry. But I'm going to tell you, it does not smell right for him to be in this industry, if that is the attitude that he has. And that's all I'm going to offer for this segment. Thanks for taking my call this
morning.
Thanks
very much. And mind you, I don't want the taxi driver to lose his job. I think he needs a good talking to, especially from the union president, to intervene and say, hey, you think it's funny, but no, you embarrass all of us. I have a text here that says, good morning. The taxi union do have rules, dress code, Bahama hosts, clean vehicles, etc. However, just like everything else in this country, the lack of enforcement is the issue. And the union president said that too, but I'm not sure who is to enforce this. Is it the union? Because I assume that's what the union is for, or the union is to defend, or is it the ministry?
Right, but I mean, I think the union can, if they do have their own rules, what's the penalty for breaching the rules or the code of conduct, right? And can you restrict access to the union because of a breach of the code? I know you don't have to be a part of the union to drive a taxi, so you know, and maybe that's a part of it. Maybe there has to be a standard. Are the drivers tested every year, right? Are their eyes mm-hmm. tested? Do they do a mm-hmm. driving test every year? Do they do an audio test, a hearing test every year?
I see some union officials are blaming the minister for extending the various new licenses to the new taxi drivers. So that don't make no sense. But I see they use that as a reference.
The question is there a... not vetting process, but is there a training?
It's a training
component. Once you get, but beyond Bahama Hosts, Bahama Hosts is general. Is there a specific unit in Bahama Hosts for taxi drivers and tour operators?
So anyway, I have this text here. I simply said nothing. What that taxi driver did was sickening. To know that this type of thing happens on a daily basis, only because the lady made her incident public with that video, we are privyed to it. So just imagine how many of our guests just returned to the ship cutting their losses. And I am concerned about that.
But listen, I know taxi drivers, right? I know taxi drivers. And the taxi drivers I know, they go into the cruise ship and they waiting there with the bag. right? They're going to say, they're going to fine cruise officials and they're going to say, listen, or the port officials and say, listen, I lost track of my guests.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had a heart attack. I just could tell them anything.
Yes.
But here are the things that they left in my vehicle. Or further, even if they didn't leave anything, you see, because I overthink, and I scared of getting in trouble. I go into the cruise port and I can say, listen, I had a group of tourists in my vehicle. I lost track of them. I don't know where they is, and they got, I don't know if they can make it to the boat. But I pick them up from here, and I ain't bring them back here. And I just letting you all know.
And here's their bag. Yeah. Anyway, I wanted to see if you read this article. It's a UB to publish a new study on marital rape, right? And I know it's published today. I'm not sure if you see it. But I want to read this section right here, right? Because I want you to comment.
I can't read it?
I can let you read. I can read it too.
Yeah.
No, you read it. So it's right from the right there, right there. And then stopped at the end of that paragraph.
UB to publish new study on marital rape. The research study is based on data collected from 464 married and 1,264 single women in intimate relationships with men. Married women were found to be more likely than single women to have experienced non-consensual sexual intercourse. Moreover, married women who disclosed being victims of non-consensual sexual intercourse with their husbands were also more likely to have suffered physical harm at the hands of their partners compared to those who had not experienced such abuse.
And mind you, I appreciate the study, but I'm uneasy with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being a married man, right? Do what married people do, right? And I'm thinking 2-3 o'clock in the morning, right? And you initiating relationships with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Is the initiating whilst your wife's sleeping non-consensual? And I'm just reading that section right there, right? The initiating, and I'm waking her up and I'm almost halfway finished.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, so
I'm just uneasy.
So yes, that
with
is
the verbiage.
That is non-consensual. What? Right? Because you didn't get consent.
I got consent when she said I do.
No.
So I can't wake her up.
That is that perspective comes from.
You saying I can't wake her up doing
pause,
that.
Pause, let me finish speaking.
I just ask you. Because
I'm not a married person, so I gotta make sure
point.
I speak properly. Pause.
Yeah.
What you have presented your position that I'm a married man and consent was given in the ritual, the sacrament of marriage. That's when consent was given.
Yes.
That's a perspective from a particular part of the religious community.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's only a part of the Christian
I appreciate
community. Only a part of Muslim communities believe that.
I wouldn't ask
bang.
You, what is sexual assault now?
Hold on.
Sexual assault.
Listen, what I advise is if you're not old enough to talk to your partner about sex, then you're not old enough to have sex. Let me rephrase that. If you're not mature enough to talk to your partner about sex, you're not mature enough to have sex.
Uh-huh.
And that means establishing with your partner, married or not, what the rules of the relationship are. And if you're a big man and you say you're a man with integrity, you're going to sit the woman down before you married her and you're going to tell her, I's the type of man.
Who's wake you up?
Yes, and you put it on the table.
That's a lot of talking.
That's a lot of talking because that's what mature people do.
Yeah. And it just seems as if these women who were interviewed are still happily married. Because they didn't mention divorced women. These are women who are still married to those men who wake them up early in the morning to say, hey, I start. you just get to catch me up.
I ain't married, right? I ain't married.
You never get a wake up?
But, Mr. Nuri.
I just asked if you ever get a wake up.
I'm not married, but I will say this. To use that term, happily married.
Or just married.
Right?
They just
do the pause. Because you're baiting me.
I've tried to bait you as much as I can.
Married people will tell you this. You can't expect happiness all the time. And happiness does not determine the value or the strength of the marriage. It's our willingness to work together to support each other through these times. Mm-hmm. right? It's a great quote. A woman said that marriage is not 50-50. Sometimes you only have 20. Mm-hmm. And your partner will sit down and say, baby, I could see you only have 20% today.
Amen.
I gonna need, I'll put in the next 80. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'll be the flip. He'll say, baby, I only got 45. Mm-hmm. And I know today we need 200%.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to do it? That's what married people just do. It's not always, so don't say it's happy. They stick together because they're happy.
As we transition, I wonder if it would be appropriate to ask those married people
mm-hmm.
who were interviewed, and an operative word is married people who are still, who are abused, clearly were abused. I'm not making fun of it now. Why they stay.
Yeah.
Should that be also included in the questioning? So as we make our decision, we able to understand fully what is happening inside these relationships and why there is a greater mm-hmm. concern.
Now, remember, if we ask people to expose themselves like that, we as a community need to be mature enough to create a space to hold them, to recognize that these are not just statistics, right? Mm-hmm. These are not just numbers on paper, mm-hmm. but these are people sharing their lived experiences in hope of growing a safer and healthier Bahamas. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, a better understanding of the dynamics involved, right? But let's dispel, and your point, the point you raised, and I guess I raised as well, is that we as a community need to interrogate our beliefs and our behaviors around marriage, fidelity. In fact, I had one trivia question today, Mr. Newry, in the song The Gallin by D-Mac. Mm-hmm. What did The Gallin promise D-Mac?
I want to sing the song.
He promised to marry him and be faithful to him.
Okay.
He didn't, I don't know. He said it didn't quite work out even before they get married.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not supposed to marry no Gallin.
That's because you don't understand the Gallin. If you understood the Gallin, you would understand why you got to marry a Gallin.
Yeah.
I don't know which Gallin D-Mac met. Mm-hmm. I have sympathy for him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the wrong Gallin.
But something else in the news you wanted to mention before we go on this break.
Oh. Article in today's Tribune. But we could still talk more about the non-consent. I mean, that's, I don't mind going back to that.
We could talk about that.
You know, but this article, on the other side of the break,
yes.
Maybe we get to, we're still working out cost of Jubilee celebrations. Let me tell you, I never thought I was going to have to ask for the resignation of Mr. Jack Thompson.
What Jack did?
I never thought I'd have to ask for it. Jack Thompson said, quote, my pencil is in figures right now, and I'm on the computer even as we speak. This is what he told the Tribune yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, we're still working out. We're still paying bills. Close quotes. What do you mean you're still working out? I presume he means we're still working out the cost, like how much money we spent. What do you mean you're still working out how much money you spent? Surely you had a budget. And you spend all of that budget, not a penny more.
The part of still paying bills is concerning because I assume that each bill comes with invoice, so you will know the total. You might not have paid them as yet. Say, well, these bills are outstanding, but we have a total of this X amount of dollars that we people have put forward through. And we are waiting to conclude, reconcile payment. But you have a total.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem as if he has a total, like bills are still coming in.
Yeah. See, when St. Anne's, I'm reading from the article still, when St. Anne's MP, Adrian White, asked why the cabinet office budget for ceremonial events increased from $750,000 to $5.2 million, Minister of Tourism and Aviation, I don't mind that the Tribune call him the Deputy Prime Minister, you know, but the Minister of Tourism, Aviation and Investment said the independence anniversary would be a, quote, big, big deal for us and we are going to celebrate it thoroughly, close quotes.
And that's a good thing.
Quote.
I support that.
There is a secretariat that has been set up for this event. There will be many, many events leading up to the actual 50th celebration. We happen to be very excited about this, he said, in the House of Assembly.
Good.
It gets better. Here's what my concern is. When I said, hey, y'all very late in starting the celebrations, right? Then what happened in December or January, they officially launched the event and said, oh, we're going to have a year of events.
Yes.
So we're starting from now, like January.
Are we still going to have a year of events? Interesting. I see your problem. I see your concern.
Why are you having this conversation? Like, we almost finished tabulating how much it costs, but aren't there going to be more events? Didn't you tell us, wait, if your thing hasn't happened yet, we got time to have these events?
Well, the good thing is we have a set budget, and clearly we can't be over budget yet because the year ain't over. We need August event.
No, pause.
September event.
I don't know what type of math in that is.
No?
We have a set budget. We have a year of events, so we could not have fulfilled the budget, completed the budget yet. We couldn't have surpassed it.
No, we can't.
That's not how mathing goes.
No. The budget is a year long. It's a year long.
No, the budget is a finite number that has to be stretched over that period of time.
Yes.
They could run out of the money early.
No. We could. We straight. There's more money there for the rest of the events. It's a big event in December. Part of the Christmas event.
Look here, Ministry of Education and Technical and Vocational Training. Mm-hmm. Take PLP math off the curricula. Take it off curriculum.
You don't like PLP math?
It just ain't working out. It ain't mathing.
It ain't mathing.
No, it ain't mathing.
Let's see if we have a call here. Producer Pastor, call us through, please. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, and Mr. Dewey, sorry I called back, but I just wanted to give your guest, Ms. Green, one of the biggest compliments I think she could ever have. Ms. Green, this goes out to you, and I listen to you. You seem to be so well-rounded in so many different topics, including law, civics, sports, maths, everything. You know, I think there's a person like you should consider putting yourself up as a candidate to enter the halls of parliament, because you seem to have all the answers for basically everything down here to set this country on the right course. We need people like you, who I believe love the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and its flag and its motto, that we need you to do more than just sit on a talk show and be one of the best talk show hosts. But I think we need you on Bay Street now, and I think we need to start rounding up people like y'all instead of sending people to us who don't know nothing what they're getting on Bay Street for, other than get a salary and leave rich with plenty car and property and big house. We need people like you, Ms. Green. Thank you.
Thank you, Sparky. Because I thought you was going to say, I need to get married. That's what I thought you was going
to
say.
Well, I believe in order to be prime minister, you need to be married. But that's a different thing altogether. But you'll be good on Bay Street, on Parliament Street, representing us in a tie, in your suit.
You got to go to the house in the suit. They got a dress code. You got to be proper.
Yes.
It's not the married part, you know.
It's not the married part?
It's the living to the standard. So if you're a single person, will you be living to the standard expected of a single person in a Christian nation? That's really what it is. Because then you got to be a big man to go in front of the people, or a big woman, and say, I am a single man. I am following the same tenets that we demand, or we apply to regular citizens. If Christian people are supposed to be single and celibate, then I am a Christian person and I am single and celibate with it, right? Like, it's living up to the standard that's most important.
I just don't want my MP dating. I just find that problematic.
I don't mind my MP dating, but my MP or the whatever politician must realize that they are politically exposed, they're public figures, and there will be an expectation that they date according to a standard.
Mm-hmm. But let's go back to the gender and UB, right?
Yeah.
The gender thing finish. The government has concluded. The government has concluded that they're not going to have a gender bill. They are going to have a... What do they call
Protection it? Protection Against Violence Act.
Yes, because there's no need to protect women and children.
That's what they say.
That's what they concluded. They might say it's a conclusion. It's a done deal. In fact, we had ministers, women ministers, who said that the NGOs, women groups, were already advised and they have agreed upon this. This is what it is. So I'm not sure, is it necessary
that UB is still doing these investigations and census, or just for
raped child's abortion. Police should investigate.
Look at you trying to negotiate now.
Today, Monroe tells sex attack victims to report disrespectful officers. Another headline, girl 11 impregnated by mother's boyfriend. There's another headline here or within that story. Police are also investigating a report that an 8-year-old girl was sexually assaulted by her neighbor last month, or the month before, July, the end of June. We had reported two elderly women in their 80s were raped by people, possibly known to them. While the government keeps trying to convince us that there's no need for a gender-based violence that looks specifically at violence meted upon someone because of their sex, right, of which men are also victims, mm-hmm. right? I don't understand. As the government attempts to convince us that there's no need for it, the statistics continue to cry out, right, like, as if statistics could talk. Continue to cry out that we have a problem. The more that they say we don't, the more stories pop up in the media.
Let's go to a caller. Producer, pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good lady. Good afternoon.
Good day.
Good morning, rather.
Yeah,
good morning.
I just tuned in a while ago when Sparky was giving all the kudos to Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
And I want to submit that you don't need to be married to be a representative.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard him saying we, I wanted to know which we, if he were referring to a political party, but I think I understand him even better that he was talking we the people, mm-hmm. you know. I'm remembered of the former U.S. MP. He was single as an MP, and then he got married later on.
Mm-hmm.
He was the prime minister, not an MP, he was the prime minister of the country,
mm-hmm.
of the great United Kingdom. And we, you know, we pattern ourselves off of the United Kingdom, so we can follow suit without requiring someone to be married. And so Irene was correct in saying it's upholding the standard rather than whether you're single or married.
Yes, sir.
And regarding the gender situation, we are basically, in practice, a patriarchal, a man-driven, man-rule country. Men rule country.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at the House of Assembly and all of that. So the proportion when we celebrate having women who are members of Parliament and in their largest numbers right presently, but it's still not in commensurate, not in balance with the population.
Yes, true.
So more power and not necessarily sending you into politics. But keep on doing what you're doing, and if that's your road, then take the road.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Carl. I appreciate it. Aaron, you want a campaign manager?
Listen, look at the stats on married women. Once I'm walking down the aisle, and I'm only saying that tongue-in-cheek, people, marriage is a sacrament. It's a beautiful thing if honored, right? Mm-hmm. I ain't dissing marriage at all. I'm just saying, why would y'all do that to a man, a good Bahamian man?
Is it too late to have the NGO agitate, to have the government change its mind regarding this gender bill that is no longer a gender bill?
It's okay, first of all, two things. It's never too late.
It's never too late.
This thing that they passed, which is called the Protection Against Violence Act, it does not replace, it's not the gender bill with a different name, nor does it do the same thing in different language. It's something separate. So it should be no problem.
You did not listen to the Attorney General, nor did you listen to Pia Glover, nor did you listen to Gillis Hannah Martin.
I think that
it says the same thing.
Pia Glover and Hannah Martin not listening to themselves. That's cool. We put that as an aside. The AG is not an elected official, and so sometimes...
He's still a constitutional official.
I question whether... to what extent I have to listen to him. I just question it. I'm allowed to... Two things I'm allowed to do, Mr. Newry. I'm allowed to speculate,
uh-huh.
and I'm allowed to question.
You can't speculate.
I can't enjoy nothing.
Deputy Prime Minister, not Deputy Prime Minister, who said it speculated? No, it was the issue who said it speculated.
I can't thrive beyond my station, but two things I could do on this plantation is question and speculate, buddy.
We have another caller there. Producer, patch that caller there, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Turn on the radio. I can hear you.
Note to Ms. Green in regard to this marriage thing.
Yes, sir.
We've had many people in our family that were not married.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And people have got married after they went in there.
Yes.
We have people that their spouses may have died and now widowed. Our minister, Mr. Fred Mitchell, has never been married.
Listen, why would y'all do that to that poor man? Y'all don't care enough about men. Y'all need support groups to support men in marriage. And we need more groups. If we say we're serious about marriage, let's show it. Because what we've manifested in this community does not show that we have a reverence for the sacrament of marriage.
I enjoyed you today, Aaron Green. This has been Guardian Radio, the AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green was with me today as we analyzed the news. And have a beautiful day. Hey, producer, I appreciate you there, Kermit. Have a wonderful day, man.